Welcome to From Doubt to Drive, Entrepreneurs Only. Join us on an inspired journey through the ups and downs of successful entrepreneurs. Our hosts, Mario C. Bauer and Florian Schneider, will explore how conquering doubt is essential for entrepreneurs to truly unleash drive. By being a part of our community, you too can learn how to propel from doubt to drive. So tune in, buckle up, and enjoy.
Welcome back, everybody. Hello, Florian.
Hi, Mario.
Florian, before we start, how is actually your skills to make a good sushi? Do you know how to make a good sushi?
I was trained a little bit in making sushi, so I think I can do it quite okay.
So maybe you'll learn today a little bit more, because today we have a really special guest. It's quite difficult to build a billion-dollar brand, and there is just a handful of people who have done it. But actually, we're talking today to somebody who has done it twice. At least we believe right. That the second brand is also hitting already the billion-dollar mark. And we're talking about the founder of Pret A Manger and Itsu. Welcome, Julian. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank
good
you for taking
you.
The time. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Julian, when we prepared for the call, we found, I don't know why it came up with you, but we found a quote from Albert Einstein, and he said that logic will bring you from A to B, but imagination will bring you everywhere. So what we are interested in, what brought you where you are right now? What was your imagination? What brought you there?
Oh, goodness. I've never heard that. I've never heard the Einstein thing, but it's true, isn't it? Imagination is what takes you on this journey of trying to create something which maybe doesn't exist already, and it gives you this belief that you can see something that maybe other people can't see, I don't know, and the determination to try and make a reality of something which others probably, through their experience, thinks is going to be impossible. And very often I think they're right. They are aware. A great many people I work with are aware of how very difficult it is what we're trying to achieve. But as long as we never give up and we keep learning, it's incredible what the human can do. A team of people can do. Quite remarkable. Never ceases to amaze me.
True. This podcast, Julian, is for entrepreneurs, by entrepreneurs. And I heard you in another podcast and you said, I love failures. And that's why Florian and I picked you as one of the first here to interview, because this podcast is to teach and to share failures and struggles you had and you overcame, and to kind of find a pattern or tools or tricks which helps other entrepreneurs. So I would like to big, because you said, I love failures in that podcast. So let's try to find the biggest failure, the biggest struggle you had, and let's find out how you survive. Looking back on your career, what's the biggest struggle and failure?
I think I don't really love failure. I hate failure. It's very depressing, but I probably said that. And I say that because I know perfectly well how difficult it is to face failure and accept failure. And I therefore, when I say to people I love failure, is what I'm trying to say to them is failure is very much part of the journey. We have to accept it. In order to get to a place, a new place, we're going to trip up. It's a rocky road. So I say I love failure because it is only by constant failure do we end up in a better new place. Because you know, if it was easy to get to a new place, everyone would have got there. So with Itsu and its commitment to healthy food at affordable prices, it's we'll only get there by a massive amount of failure. And maybe failure is the wrong word. Maybe it should be testing or trial and error. I don't know. But, you know, there's only so much trial and error most human beings can cope with before they want to jump off the roof. Whereas I don't mind it, because from an enormous amount of trial and error often comes great glory, something really beautiful. So when I say I love failure, I know the value of failure.
Yeah, that's true. If you know, I picked Itsu, and I said before, you had two strong careers. So let's stay on the Itsu side. I think you're over 20 years in that journey and you have 83, 85 restaurants. So there must be a lot of up and downs. And we really try to find this existential moment, which you probably had also in that journey. Can you pick one of that really big struggles and we look into that?
So I wish I could. I can't tell you one. I can tell you a great many for which we don't have time. But I mean, even today was very rarely do I go through a week or a month without learning a tremendous amount about the direction we need to go in to build a really sustainable, affordable, nutritious, healthy fast food chain. It's been an unbelievably very, very, very bumpy journey, because if we can get there, and we are now very close, we will have created something so remarkable that we really can feed people for 7-8 euros with fantastic food. In other words, the harmony between the menu, the ingredients, the equipment we use, the technology, the family tree, the environment we use, it's been an incredible journey. And we, you know what, Mario, we had to break it before we could understand it. In other words, we had to go way past the safe zone to understand mm-hmm. where the boundaries really were. So in other words, we've just, the last 20 ITSUs we've built, we're now rebuilding them because we now know we pushed the boundary too far. But at least we know that now. We really do know the boundaries of what is possible and what is not possible, because we've tested it. You know, we've tested the engine and we've blown it up, and now we know what the engine can do.
But Julian, I think that's a good example, because you said you had to detour a lot. So it's, I mean, you're a convincing person, but you have investors, board members, employees. How you take them on this detour? Because you said you always had to fade, readjust, testing. How you manage to take them? Because you make up your mind as a leader, strong leader, strong personality, and you change the direction. But yesterday you told everybody we run there, and today you tell them we go there. How you take them on the journey? Because if you lose them every time, that probably wouldn't work either. How you do that?
Sure. It's a very good, I think the key is you can't afford to lose them. We're very lucky here. We've got a very, very loyal group of executives who've been, some of them, a long time. We've got an incredibly loyal group, a team here. We have a very loyal group of investors. Luckily, we don't have too many, because you're right. I think if you had too many investors, they'd probably kick someone like me, they'd probably get rid of. But I am very fortunate, and the team here are very fortunate. We've got, you know, investors and a board who are very supportive. They see the journey is a long one and a bumpy mm-hmm. one, but they also share in the belief and the fact that we're very close to doing it now. I mean, we'll have 100 restaurants open, I think, by the end of this year, 100 of which all the ones we're building this year will be immensely successful. Mm-hmm. So it may have taken us a very long time to build the right intricate details of this, but we are now nearly there. We're on our fifth technology journey. We're on our 20th different design of our kitchen. Every single time we do it, it gets better. And I think all of us know, we can see it. We know it's getting better.
And Julian, when in this moment before you detour, before you adjust, which seems to be a key strength of yours, how you make that decision that you have been wrong and readjust? Do you meditate? Do you talk to people? Do you, like, how you make up your mind that you have been wrong? What's your modus operandi? You see, you struggle, that seems to be the wrong way, and then you do what? Before you decide, what do you do in that
question?
Moment?
Usually, the data, our customer behavior will tell us if we've got it wrong. But that can take a few weeks or a few months. So I think listening to the customers is absolutely paramount, and then listening to the key members of staff at the front, right at the front. Everyone who's really in touch with the customers on a daily basis, you've got to listen to them, but you've really got to watch how your customers are behaving. And also, you've got to take a very long-term view at this. In other words, you can't fix this overnight. You need to take a long-term view.
And then, Julian, you go with your gut, so you go on pure data, or what's the final decision?
I think a combination. Well, you know, it's a complex subject. Like, let me give you an example. Itsu used to sell 75 different bento boxes, 75, mm-hmm. of which I enjoyed all 75 of them on a different day, at a different time, and a different when I was hungry or not hungry or whatever. All 75 were good. The problem is it took too long for our staff to learn how to make all 75. It took too long for our customers to choose one of 75. There were many beautiful things about having 75. Choice is a wonderful thing. But in the end, we've gone slowly down from 75 to 16. Now, think how many customers we've lost on the way. But think of the advantages of having less availability, quality control, knowledge by our own staff, familiarity by our consumers. So the list is endless, but that is a complex journey. And it's a rocky one, because where do you go down from 75 to 10 to 8? Do you stay at 16? How do you know? It's down to texture, color, price, so many things. So it's a journey. And the same applies to everything we sell, the hot food, the drinks, the desserts, our attitude to the training and investment of the people we work with. It's endless. Nothing is ever right or wrong. It's an ever-moving feast. But somewhere there is this beautiful place where we can consistently sell wonderful food at the right price. And we are very, very, very close to that place now. Really close, closer than ever before. And one day, if we're there by December this year, all the hard work will have been worth it.
Are you an entrepreneur experiencing growth pains? Your business is expanding rapidly, but you're grappling with obstacles such as people, structure, or funding. Perhaps it's time to challenge your current approach, seek other perspectives, and to discover new tactics to overcome these hurdles. Come and join our seminar, Navigate Uncertainty with Confidence, your retreat, reset, restart, Sri Lanka, from the 7th to the 14th of September. For more information, please visit www.fromdoubttodrive.com. And now, back to the show.
We come and visit, Julian. You wanted to say something. Sorry.
Yeah, Julian, I would like to ask you a question, because we were talking about Itsu right now, but before Itsu, you actually started as an entrepreneur with Pret-a-Manger. So I can imagine that in your younger days, in the beginning of this journey, you faced probably more doubts and struggle than in the ongoing journey with Itsu. Is there something that you particularly remember out of the Pret days where you said, okay, this was a moment where I did not know what to do? And if so, what did you do then?
Sure. Okay, so from the point of view of your listeners, if this podcast is for entrepreneurs,
right.
I'll give you a couple of examples, because as entrepreneurs, they will admit they often have no idea what to do. Like all of us, all of entrepreneurs, if we knew what to do, life would be very different. So we are often out in the big blue sky, on the ocean, not knowing which way the wind's going to blow. So yes, of course, with Pret-a-Manger, there were a number of immensely important things which happened, where we went in a direction which was contrary to what most people would think was right, and it worked out for us. I'll give you a couple of examples. One where we considered that the time, the convenience, the speed of service, and the efficiency is what our customers really wanted. They valued enormously. So providing good food and less choice in a very short period of time was very important to them. Very, very, very fundamentally important to our consumers. But they didn't want to compromise on the quality. So Pret-a-Manger became very confident with its recipes, very confident with its speed of service. And that really started working for us. And maybe the biggest turning point for Pret-a-Manger was the day when we got to about 10 or 12 Pret-a-Mangers, we realized that the future of the business was entirely dependent on our relationship with our managers and our staff. It wasn't one of the things we need to focus on. It was nearly everything. So we, in the world of hospitality, how on earth were we to build relationships where the members of staff in every single Pret-a-Manger and every Itsu were so proud of their work, proud of themselves, where there was a huge amount of self-respect, where we were doing really good work, where they were treated and we invested in them, but above all, made them understand that their role was so fundamentally important. Their sense of purpose was important. And maybe back then in 1990, people weren't valued as they should be in the world of hospitality. Absolutely. You know, there are some countries where they take food production very, very seriously. Japan is one, Italy perhaps another. And in England in 1990, that was not the case. And I think Pret-a-Manger turned that on its head. We refused to accept this wasn't an incredibly important job and one which you had every right to be immensely proud of. And that came, of course, with using the right ingredients, the right environment, the right everything. It's a very holistic approach to the business, which worked for us. I don't know if it works for everybody else, but it definitely worked for us. But there were many, 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 many major times when things all went the right way. You know, there's no doubt there are some weeks where suddenly everything falls into place. As an entrepreneur, your entrepreneurs who are listening to this will understand exactly what I mean. When you take a risk, you're in the unknown and it turns out to be the right decision. It's a wonderful feeling.
Definitely. What we always talk, Julian, is this. There's a famous, there's a funny German word, it's called Schwellenangst. There's no literal translation of that, but it's the fear of threshold and borders. It's the fear where you stand in front of this door and you know you need to make the next step, you know it, but it's very inconvenient to do that because you're going into this unknown. And you covered that before when you said it's this moment where you say, okay, I'm here in the current situation. Although it's not right, although it's painful, I know what I have. So let me stay here because I don't know what is behind this door. And we talk a lot about here about overcoming the Schwellenangst, how to overcome this fear before you jump. You know you need to do something, but it's more convenient to stay in this pain. So what do you advise other entrepreneurs or people you coach or people you're close to when you face such situation of Schwellenangst? What do you do to make it easier for you to jump? How you convince yourself to jump?
So that's a really interesting question, and I think particularly for entrepreneurs. So the first thing I'd say is that is a feeling any entrepreneur will get a lot. That feeling you described, that German word, is something that is extremely familiar to me. And I'm afraid it's something that entrepreneurs have to live with. Making that difficult decision and looking around for everyone to help you and everyone to encourage you to make it is not going to happen. Mm. More often than not, people will do the absolute opposite. Mm. They will give you a great many reasons why swimming upstream is not the right way to go. So I'm afraid that is a lesson that every entrepreneur
listening to this... It comes with the job.
It comes with a job, and it comes far more frequently than we'd like. But I'm afraid that's in time, you can share that pain with your team. You can discuss it more openly with your team. And your team, after when there's a huge level of trust, your team can help you. But even then, a great many of the really difficult, brave decisions you need to make on your own.
And those decisions,
I'm afraid that's very...
Do you have a trick how you come to such a decision? Do you take math, majority, or flip a coin, or is there anything, or gut feeling?
So I think it's easier, these decisions, if you tease out the thoughts of your team. So very often, you're as an entrepreneur, you're not alone in thinking what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. But the others are, for lots of reasons, not sufficiently, they don't want to share that they don't want to share their feelings. So part of the job is to get your team to share their innermost thoughts. What do you really, really think, you know? And then somehow give them the strength to protect that decision. In other words, Itsu, for instance, has soon 100 restaurants, but 4 of them are tests. So we can do anything we want in those tests. So if someone says, you know, we need to be selling something, you know, marshmallows with sushi in, we can test it. So the answer is nothing is off limit. Everything. You've got to have a scenario, a stage where everything is possible. Otherwise, it doesn't work. We have a day every year. We have 2 days. But it's a grocery where everybody gets together out in the countryside to talk about what mad products, what products does everyone think we could launch that no one's thought about at all before, ever. And anything is possible. Anything is possible.
So what came out in the last meeting, Julian? What came out of the last meeting?
No, there were some marvelous ideas, many good ideas, but one or two really. Someone said, why don't we make the most beautiful fortune cookies? What a wonderful idea.
I like that.
If you think of how beautiful a fortune cookie could be.
Absolutely.
And think how miserable fortune cookies are now.
The benchmark is pretty low, Julian. It would be great to do a good one.
A beautiful fortune cookie. Anyway, so no, I think it's a very good question. How does an entrepreneur break through that pain barrier? But as you said, it comes with a job. It really comes with a job.
Mm. We also beforehand. We also listened to tried to get the right questions for you, and we called Clive, who you obviously know quite well because you worked together for many years, and we said give us a handful of good questions, and he gave a handful of good questions, but we want to pick one, and he said, "What's the moment looking back to your career where you have been most persuasive, and have you been right?" What was the moment in your career where you have been most persuasive and have you been right?
Well, that's a very good, typical Clive to ask such a good question like that. The problem is that we'll never know, because if I was persuasive and ignored, which is for many good reasons probably the case, we'll never know if I was right or wrong. So... we'll never know.
Smart question, smart answer. Smart question,
we'll never know.
Smart answer.
We'll Florian. Never ever know.
Yeah,
we'll never know.
We were talking about the past and this incredible journey of yours. Is there anything, Julian, that keeps you up at night right now? Is there an actual topic where you would say this needs attention and how can I solve that?
Good question. No, nothing keeps me up because if it kept me up at night, I'd never be able to sleep at all. I hit the pillow and I sleep very well. I don't have a problem sleeping, but I am always anxious and worried about everything, about how could it be better? We have our email. My email address is on every bag. And I get emails from customers every single day and I reply to them immediately. It's not much fun when you get 3 bad emails in an hour and it's distracting. But I have a feeling, personally, I think it's such a good example. I think you must be accountable to your customers in any business you run. And therefore, I do it because it sets a very good example to myself and to others. So you're never far away in my day from failure. But then the opportunity for success is always around the corner. Greater success, you know, to do something better, make a dish better, make a process better. Give an opportunity to someone you work with who you had a hunch had real leadership qualities. Give them that responsibility and accountability and watch them rise up. And it's a wonderful feeling. Absolutely wonderful. In other words, things which you know, a year ago we couldn't deal with, we couldn't rise up to, stuff we didn't understand, and now we can. Now we're doing it well. It's a particularly difficult arena we've chosen. Nutritious, affordable, wonderful food at €7. This is not an easy battlefield. No. But we are so close now. So close.
And when Florin asked you the question, you immediately went into the, let's say, the struggles or the one you can solve because they're in your hand. What about keeping up at night? Is there anything on the political landscape? How do you interact with these parameters where you cannot change? We live in a certain time, in inflation, raw material crisis, wars, over 100 countries, armed conflicts, political tendencies to the right. How you factor that in, or you just say, okay, I ignore that because, and I just deal with what I can influence? Or is that something you try to...
No, it's a really good question. So two answers to that. On the whole, to be successful with our vision and our dream, we've got to focus only on what we do. We mustn't get too distracted. We've got to focus 100% on the job. But part of that job is having to accept the fact that, you know, a great many people I work with face, you know, huge disruption from their, you know, it starts with their commute. You know, I don't know, a great many services for which we pay handsomely nowadays, particularly, you know, in this country, don't operate very well. Mm-hmm. And that breaks my heart. How can I expect people to perform beautifully when even their commute into work is not as attractive as it should be? I don't know if you've been on the underground in Japan or Korea. It's absolutely wonderful. It's spotless. Mm-hmm. You can eat off the, you know, and they're always on time. Have you ever taken a train in Switzerland? It's an absolute work of art. And it is therefore frustrating that we expect, and I expect people to perform beautifully when so much in society at the moment is struggling and struggles to let them down. But we have to focus on the job. We have to do our best. But we need to be mindful of the fact that it's not easy. It's not easy for us. Mm-hmm. I have to be mindful of the fact that it's not easy for any of us at the moment. But, you know, in particularly in this country.
Bill, you have this vision, which is a big dream, vision, mission you're on to create this beautiful concept of nutritious food for £7. And in one other interview, you said, I will not run out of steam, but I will run out of time. And you also said in that interview that by handing over bread, you haven't been in the driver's seat. It was done and you were not asked because you didn't have the majority anymore. But now you control that company. So what's the plan of it? So how you want to hand that over and to whom? Because how much longer are you going to do that? And who can follow such a strong lead?
Well, I think the answer to that is... my job is to help those all around me here to understand what it is we're trying to do, to understand the vision with great clarity and to execute that vision better than I can. And already I have two members of my family working with me. I have a lot of amazingly talented people here at the Academy who you know, could quite capable of building Itsu. And this is a particularly important year and next year for us. I heard the other day that the man who created Uniqlo, apparently the wealthiest man in Japan, still sits on every product design meeting today. He's 87, I think. You know, in other words, I don't think age is the problem. I think my job is definitely to hand over the reins and responsibility to people who can do it better than I can. And then surely my job is to explain the vision. And the vision of Itsu, nutritious, affordable food within this beautiful environment, is becoming clearer. It really is. So we're not that far away from being able to really make it very clear and real. Just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean it's not possible. It's definitely a very difficult task, and it needs a task where a large group of very committed people need to work very hard. But we've done that now. We're nearly there. We're very nearly there. It's exciting. I don't think we'll ever really be there. But if I was to be, if I was to drop dead tomorrow, I think we can finish the job over the next 20 or 30 years.
And I mean, that's the goal, isn't it? And if not, we're going to see you sitting with 87 in a food development NPT meeting of Itsu, like the Uniqlo boss, probably.
That's right. And there are others too. I know he's a remarkable man, but there are others. Well, age has nothing to do with it, really. I think it's it's about your drive and your love of seeing others rise up and learn, you know, understand the vision, understand what it really means to pursue excellence with a product. So, you know, maybe redesign a product 20, 30, 40 times until it's as good as it can be.
Yeah.
Your
passion and how you're convincing is really remarkable. And I think everybody, Florian and me, obviously have been in Zurich when you did your speech. And I was afterwards, as I'm in the board of the summit, we were recapping. And everybody said that was like a speech we haven't heard 10 years because you were so pure and unscripted. And everybody will remember that moment when you say it's all about the duck. It's all about the details. Details matter. And it's so nice to hear from a leader who have been on such a successful journey.
Well, it's lovely for you to say that. I wish large corporations shared your understanding. And because many don't, I'm afraid. A great many are really only there from 1 month to the next in pursuit of profit, which is sad. It's sad for us. It's sad for the consumers. It's sad for the employees. But I'm afraid that is true. And anyone listening who's part of a large organization which only pursues profit and short-term goals should reflect on that, I think.
Julian, we almost at the end, so we always have at the end this question of really, if somebody, if a young entrepreneur comes to you in a coaching and mentoring moment and he really struggles and he's really facing a difficult situation, whatever it is, running out of energy, running out of money, we all have been there. What's the first tool set in such a mentoring coaching moment you apply? How you try to help this person?
God, it's such a good question. I don't know. I think, honestly, the truth is it would depend who they are, what are they trying to do. You know, I've had many, many people over the years come to me. They write to me saying that it's very important that I meet them because they have, let's say, a chocolate brownie, which is totally amazing. So, of course, I meet them because maybe I'll learn something. Maybe I will learn how to make a better chocolate brownie. And then I agree to see them. They sit down, they have a cup of coffee, they open their package, we eat the brownie, and the brownie's completely shit. It's a bad brownie. And then you say to them, but have you eaten all your brownies, all your competition brownies? Come on, have you eaten all 10 of them, and have you judged them? Have you asked the opinion of other people? Why are you bringing me this bad, awful brownie? And they look at me like there's something wrong with me, but that's the truth. Surely you've got to start off with where does your product stand? Where is your idea really stand? How good is your product?
Do your homework would be the frame. How huh? Do your homework first?
Is do that your homework. The, yeah.
Do love your homework. Love your product. Love your product. Yeah. Florian, do your homework and love your product. I think we can end on that. Thank you so much, Julian, for your time.
And if you love your product, and if your product's better, then maybe sometimes it's just a question of explaining that better to your customers.
Yeah.
And if they have done their homework, they can contact you. So whoever is out there who believes he has the best chocolate brownie, go and find Julian, but make sure you have done your homework first.
It has to be the best.
Yeah. It has to be the best. Thank you, Julian, for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, Florian, a lot of learning. What do you have on your paper? What are we taking home today?
Yeah, again, a lot of lesson learned here. My first takeaway is failure is part of the journey, and that from trial and error comes great glory.
That's true. And it was so funny that I listened to this other podcast where he said, I love failures. And then he said, No. I hate failures. When I think about Julian, and I think it was pretty clear when he talked, he's so passionate about the details. And what came to my mind, there's this famous book from Danny Meyer, Setting the Table. And in this book, he describes that as a good host, your job is to constantly bypass the table and look at the salt and the pepper on the table and constantly make sure it's positioned right, this gentle pressure, because this attention to detail, if you pass by this table every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, and you look at the salt and pepper, then you're going to find out what else is wrong on the table. And his passion for detail, he said several times he had to detour, he had to readjust, and he was proud of that. And to work in such a detail after that successful journey he has is incredible. Big learning.
What also comes into this is that he pointed out to take data and customer behavior as a tool, listen to your customer and staff, because they are in the front row. They know what's going on, and also take a long-term view on that.
Take a long-term view. But he also said you have to have the right setup for that, the right shareholder. He said, fortunately, only have a handful of shareholders, because to go on that journey and takes you. What I really also found strong is the end. I think do your homework. A lot of people come with their struggles and problems and say, what should I do? Yeah. And he said, have you done your homework? Do your homework first.
Yeah, absolutely. He also said, and this is comes in the same direction, focus 100% on the job and don't get too distracted. You really have to focus. And we heard that also several times from others.
I think it's a common thing.
Yeah.
Great learnings out there, as we are now already a couple of episodes into that podcast. Florian and I ask you very strongly in our bye episode. I'm not sure if you listen to that, but if not, go back and listen to that. We are really happy to get feedback from you. We really want to learn and grow. We want to do our homework, as Julian said. So we ask you again for two favors. One favor, if you have ideas of guests from our beloved hospitality industry, from the food industry, from the drink industry, from everybody in our ecosystem, I said, this is somebody who you should interview. Please send us that name. And secondly, tell us what we can do better. Is it too long? Is it too short? What questions should we ask? Give us hints, give us tips. Florian and I are willing and able to pick them up and learn. So,
because
what else, Florian?
Because, and I quote Julian again, opportunity for success is always around the corner.
So let's take this opportunity for success. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Florian.
Tune in next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. We hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we did. But sharing is not just caring. It is also empowering. So recommend this podcast to fellow entrepreneurs who might need a dose of inspiration. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you'll never miss out on future episodes. Thank you for being part of the community from Doubt to Drive Entrepreneurs Only. Mario and Florian are already gearing up for the next episode. Until then, stay tuned, stay driven, and we'll be back next week.